بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا بعلومه وحشرنا في زمرته يوم القيامة، باب الضحك. This chapter is in relation to ضحك, which is translated as laughing. The previous chapter we had on تبسم, which is smiling. So the ulama, I may have mentioned this already, the ulama have mentioned three words which we have: تبسم, ضحك, and قهقه. Tabassum is without any sound. Yeah? So you just smile. Dhahik is where there is some sound which the person himself can hear, or somebody immediately next to him, very close to him, can hear. This is dhahik. And qahqaha is a loud laughing where, you know, lots of, even somebody at a distance could hear. Usually with qahqaha, the mouth is fully open, and there's a loud sound which everybody can hear, people even at a distance can hear. So it's qahqaha that is makruh. Yeah, qahqaha, in salah, it breaks the wudu, according to the Hanafi madhab. And even outside salah, qahqaha is makruh, whereas dhahik is allowed, tabassum is also allowed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would usually smile, he wouldn't laugh. And he certainly would not laugh very loud. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, with his sanad, narrates an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aqilla ad-dhahika fa inna kathrata ad-dhahiki tumitu al-qalb. That laugh a little, for too much laughter leaves one's heart dead. First of all, different actions have different effects and different consequences, and these can only be known through wahi. Through wahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see, and he was informed that when a person laughs excessively, this kills the heart. Okay? In other ahadith, we understand that if you want life in your heart, you want nur and light in the heart, then we must engage in dhikrullah. مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. So, one who does dhikr of Allah is like the living, and one who doesn't do dhikr of Allah is like the dead. So remembering of Allah brings life into the heart. When a person laughs excessively, mean they're always joking, or, you know, always looking for a laugh or an excuse to laugh, and, you know, make everything into a laugh, then this kills the heart. And it makes a person's heart insensitive. We see this, that people who are always making jokes, they become insensitive, they make a joke of everything. Okay? So this is also a consequence of the death of the heart. May Allah protect us. In one riwayat it comes, لا تكثر الكلام بغير ذكر الله. Do not speak excessively with other than the dhikr of Allah. So joking and laughing is definitely in there. And then it says, فإن كثرة الكلام بغير ذكر الله قسوة للقلب. Because speaking excessively with other than ذكر الله is causes the heart to become hardened. قسوة, قساوة القلب. And the heart becomes hard, and no good can go into it. It doesn't accept goodness it's not soft, it doesn't have good feelings towards others or care for others. And then وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ الْقُلُوبِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِي. The last part of the hadith, the most distant heart from Allah is the hardened heart. So we should soften our heart with dhikr of Allah, with learning and listening to stories about the pious people, you know, reading stories in the Quran of the prophets. These can soften the heart and bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Joking, engaging in futile talk, wasting time causes hardness of the heart, which takes a person far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then following the instructions of Allah becomes difficult. When you hear the Quran, when you hear the ahadith, it doesn't affect the heart because the heart is hard and it's difficult to do amal on them. May Allah give us all a soft heart which accepts the truth and acts upon it easily. The next hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تكثر الضحك فإن كثرة الضحك تميت القلب. Same meaning, do not laugh excessively because excessive laughter kills the heart, leaves one's heart dead. Next hadith 254, again عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على رهط من أصحابه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out and passed by a group of his companions, يضحكون ويتحدثون, who were talking and laughing. فقال, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, والذي نفسي بيده, I swear by Allah, in whose hand is my life, in whose hand is my soul, لو تعلمون ما أعلم, if you were to know what I know, لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would laugh little, وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, and you would cry excessively. In one narration, there's an addition to this. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ لَضَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا وَلَا خَرَجْتُمْ إِلَى الصُّعُدَاتِ تَجْأَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That you would go out in the jungles, you know, turning to Allah and pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you could see what I couldn't see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen the scenes of the hereafter. He had seen Jannah and Jahannam. He had seen the torment and punishment that happen in the grave and in Jahannam. So if you could see what I have seen, if you knew what I know, then you would be laughing so much. ثُمَّ انصرف وَأَبْكَى الْقَوْمُ. Then he turned back in such a condition that he had left the people crying. Okay, I mean, when he turned away, the people had been crying. He must have said some other words, which are not mentioned here, about the hereafter and about the Jahannam, etc. So, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the emotive speaker when he spoke. In one riwayat, it comes. Kamunzirijation. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give his khutbah, it would be as if he's the general of an army, riling his soldiers up and getting them ready for battle. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very emotive speaker. So when he spoke with passion. So the Sahaba were all in tears, they were all crying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wahidan, oh Allah azza wa jal, Ya Muhammad, lima tuqannitu ibadi. Okay, O Muhammad, why do you make my servants lose hope? Meaning you scared them so much. There should be i'tidal, al-iman, bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. You should have fear of Allah, but not so much fear that you lose hope. And you should have hope in Allah, but not so much hope that you stop doing action altogether and just have hope. You have to have the right balance. So Allah Ta'ala sent wahi that they will lose hope if you admonish them in this manner. فَرَجَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ turned back. فَقَالَ أَبْشِرُوا, rejoice, meaning take glad tidings, accept good glad tidings that you are the Sahaba, Allah has many blessings for you. So have that, take those good news and be happy. وَسَدِّدُوا, and stay on the middle road, stay on the middle path. وقاربوا and stay near, meaning stay balanced. Don't go from one extreme or another. Okay? Sometimes some people go to such extremes that they really go so much into deen, and in you know they forget about the dunya altogether. And then for a certain time they're able to handle this, but then they burn out, they tire out, and they leave it altogether. So don't let this happen. If you stay balanced, you know, you work for your akhirah, but you also look after your health, you also look after your mental well-being, you look after your body, you pay the dues, you know, to your family and to those who are around you, your friends, your associates. So you take care of all of these things, then you are balanced. You shouldn't go to one extreme or another. So that's meaning saddidu and qaribu. That be balanced, be on the middle way, and stay close to the straight path, the middle path. Try your best to stay in the middle path, which has balance. Next chapter, Babun إذا أقبل أقبل جميعا وإذا أدبر أدبر جميعا. These are the some of the mannerisms and the akhlaq and good character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when he would turn to someone, he would turn fully. He would turn his full attention towards them. Okay? You know, some people when they are arrogant, if somebody on the side is talking to them, they just look with the side, the corner of their eye. They don't turn fully towards them. They don't give them the full attention. So this can be a sign of arrogance as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was addressing someone or if somebody was talking to him, then he would turn to them completely. So he gives them their full attention. Similarly, with the adbara adbara jami'an, if he had to turn back, for example, he wants to see something behind him or he wants to speak to somebody behind him, he would turn around fully. So he would turn to them. He wouldn't just talk to them from, you know, but look at them from the corner of his eye and talk to them just by turning his face towards them. So the hadith is عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه ربما حدث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقول حدثنيه أهدب الشفرتين شفرين sorry أبيض الكشحين إذا أقبل أقبل جميعا وإذا أدبر أدبر جميعا لم تر عيني مثله ولن تراه. So sometimes when Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would narrate a hadith, he would start by saying, I have been told this by the one who had long eyelashes and fair complexioned flanks. Okay, أهدب الشفرتين, he had long eyelashes, this is considered beauty. أبيض الكشحين, that his كشح means the flanks, the hips. So his hips were fair. If his hips were fair, of course his whole body was fair. So that means that he had a fair body, you know, soft skin, full of beauty. إذا أقبل, when he came along, he faced fully. And when he turned away fully. Or when he faced forward, when he turned to someone, he turned fully. And if he turned back, he would turn back fully. لم تر عيني مثله وعيكس عيني مثله, that my eyes have never seen the like of him, ولن تراه, nor will they ever see. Okay. In some narrations, no one has ever seen like him, nor will anyone ever see anyone like him. So this is just a description Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would give before he even started the hadith. So we learn one khuluq, and we learn one good manner from here. When you speak to someone, give them your full attention. Don't speak dismissively, you know, like you can't be bothered. And you know, making them feel like, okay, hurry up, you're wasting my time, can you get this over with? You know, that's why they say, some people say, if you sat with somebody, put your phone away. Because if you have your mobile phone out, and while they're talking, you keep glancing at your phone, that's rude. It makes them feel like, okay, has he got somewhere else to be? Or is he more interested in something else? He doesn't really want to talk to me. So no, we should give people our full attention when they are talking to us. Make them feel comfortable when they talk to us. This is part of makarimul akhlaq and good manners. باب المستشار مؤتمن. مستشار the one whose counsel, the one whose مشورة and advice is sought. So if somebody asks you for some advice, then you are مؤتمن. You are in a position of trust. Okay, you are in a position of trust, meaning you have to try to give the best advice. Yeah, you shouldn't deliberately give wrong advice. Like some people, you know, if somebody comes and says, you know, I'm looking to get married to this person, or looking to get my child married to this person, and you have some ulterior motive, you want somebody else to marry them who's closer to you, or you want to marry that person yourself, so you say, no, she's like this, she's like that. But really, you're just making that up because you don't want them to marry. Okay? Somebody's applied for a job or starting a business. They think, they take your mashwara. Do you think I should go into this business? Now, you know it's a good business, but you don't want them to go in there because there might be competition with you. So you say, no, don't, there's not much left in it now. You know, we're hardly making any money. So in this way, you're giving the wrong advice for your ulterior motive. This is a breach of trust. That person has trusted you, and you are breaching their trust. And breach of trust is the sign of a hypocrite, a munafiq, not a believer. Therefore, you should give the correct advice, or you have the choice to decline. If you're not sure or you don't want to give mashwara, you can say, you know, ask somebody else who'll be better off in answering you. But you shouldn't give the wrong advice. So عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي الهيثم هل لك خادم؟ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said to أبو الهيثم. أبو الهيثم is a Ansari صحابي, and Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri writes there's a famous story where once at lunchtime when everybody is sleeping, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم comes out of his house, and then Sayyidina Abu Bakr comes out, and Umar comes out, and all three are hungry. They haven't eaten anything. This and then they say, "Where should we go?" They say, "Let's go to Abu al-Haytham's garden." He was Ansari Sahabi. He had a nice orchard, so they went there, and he bought them. His wife was there. He wasn't there. Then he came, and he slaughtered a goat, and he fed them. So it's a long story. You can see the details elsewhere. So this Sahabi Abu al-Haytham, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to him, هل لك خادم? Do you have any servant? قال لا. He said no. قال فإذا أتانا سبي فأتنا. When any slaves come to us, then come, come by us. فأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم برأسين ليس معهما ثالث. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought two people, two heads, so two slaves. There was no third. There were only two. فأتاه أبو الهيثم. So أبو الهيثم came to him. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اختر منهما. Choose from them. قال يا رسول الله اختر لي. So أبو الهيثم said, يا رسول الله, you choose for me. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المستشار مؤتمن. That the one who is consulted is in a position of trust. خذ هذا فإني رأيته يصلي. Take this one because I saw him performing salah. Okay? We see over here that even in, you know, if you're employing someone, or if you want to choose a friend, you want to choose a companion, or if you're choosing a spouse for yourself or for your children or for your siblings, then we should try and give preference to the one, amongst other things, give preference or at least factor in if one perform is regular on their salah. If you see one always praying their salah in the masjid, this is a sign of their iman. This should be a reason for preference. Just like here, Rasulullah didn't say, this slave is stronger, he's more hardworking, he'll help you better. He said, no, he performs salah. That means, take him, he is better. وَاسْتَوْصِ بِهِ خَيْرًا. And take my advice in being good to him. In other words, treat him well. Literally, take my advice in treating him well. فَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَتُهُ. So his wife said, so there's a bit missing here. So he went home with the slave and he told his wife that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِسْتَوْصِ بِهِ خَيْرًا. So the wife said, مَا أَنْتَ بِبَالِغٍ مَا قَالَ فِيهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إلا أن تعتقه. سبحان الله. His wife said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said treat him well. This is very important. The Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم gives us an instruction and we must act upon it, we must fulfill it. But you can never fulfill this instruction. It's a very big duty. So you'll never be able to fulfill what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to you unless you free him. The best thing you can do, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be good to him. So the best thing you can do is free him. قال فهو عتيق. So Abu al-Haytham said, in that case, he is free. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله عز وجل لن يبعث نبيا ولا خليفة إلا وله بطانتان، بطانة تأمره بالمعروف وتنهاه عن المنكر، وبطانة لا تألوه خبالا، ومن يوق بطانة السوء فقد وقي. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, every prophet sent by Allah and every khalif has two sets of advisors, meaning two types of advisors. Yeah. One that urges him to do good and forbids what is wrong, and another does its best to corrupt him. Whoever is spared the evil advisor is truly protected. Okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indicating towards Abu al-Haytham's wife that she gave him a very good advice. You know, another woman would have said, you only got one slave, you should have got me two. One can do all the housework, one can do the outside work, right? Make my life easier. Generally, human beings are greedy for wealth and for support and for help and for ease in matters of dunya. So you can see that Sayyidina Abu al-Haytham's wife must have been a very pious lady and a good-natured lady, that she advised her husband to free the slave. Normally, you know, ladies were in need of slaves because in those days they didn't have machines, so all the work in the house they had to do themselves, right? And generally, the women were the ones who were expected to do a lot of the housework. So if they had a slave, that would make their life a lot easier. Like the hadith of Fatima radiallahu anha, we've read it before. In this kitab, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu saw her hands were cracked, and you know she was in a bad state because of the hard work she used to do. So Ali said, "Go and ask for a slave," and Rasulullah gave them the tasbihat instead. So Abu al-Haytham's wife would have been very happy to have had a slave who could help with the housework, but still she said, "No, you should free him, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be good." And the best way to be good to the slave is to free him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that Abu al-Haytham is lucky that he has a wife who advises him to do good. Just like every ruler, every Nabi, and every Khalifa has either good advisors or bad advisors. If you have good advisors, then that is good for you. That is a blessing for you. You should appreciate that. And whoever has bad advisors, then they will lead him to corruption. Many kings and many leaders in the past were corrupted because of their advisors. Okay? So that's why, وَمَنْ يُوقَ بِطَاهِدَ السُّوءُ فَقَدْ أُقِيَ. Whoever is spared the evil advisor is truly protected from all evil. Also, there's a lesson in there that we should be careful who we take advice from. And the way to do that is to be careful who you associate with. That's why we always hear about looking for good company, Suhbat Salih. In Farsi they say, Suhbat Salih Tura Salih Kunad. Suhbat Talih Tura Talih Kunad. The people you accompany, that's how you will become. So be careful who you're with, because they'll advise you, they'll influence you. So you should try and look for good company who will give you good advice. Babul Mashura. Mashura, Mashwara, two ways of saying the same word, which means to counsel, to advise. قال قال ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما وشاورهم في بعض الأمر. In the Quran, the ayat in the common qiraat is وشاورهم في الأمر. The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was instructed to do مشورة in your affairs. But Ibn Abbas would read it as في بعض الأمر. So he must have heard it that way from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. In many ayat of the Quran, sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read it slightly differently. And both are from Wahi, both are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both are valid qira'at. You know, there's a story of Umar radiallahu anhu, where he heard a Sahabi reading a certain ayat. So he grabbed him and rushed him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, Rasulullah, is reading the Quran wrong? Rasulullah said, read it. So he read. He said, now Umar, you read. He said, yeah. He said, and for both, he said, Hakada unzil. And then he said, unzil al-Quran wa ala sab'ati ahruf. The Quran has been revealed on seven words, or seven ways. Okay, seven ways. So, here as well, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu read as shawirhum fi ba'd al-amr. That you should consult with the Sahaba in some affairs. You don't need to ask for mashwara and advice in everything. If some things are obvious, you don't need to ask mashwara, right? Like if it's time for salah, you don't do mashwara, should I pray salah or not? Okay. If it's time to eat, you don't do mashwara, should I eat or not? These are things that are obvious. The mashwara is where you are unsure what is the best thing, then you should do mashwara in that. And Hassan رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رضي حسن البصري the great تابعي والله ما استشار قوم قط إلا هدوا لأفضل ما بحضرتهم that a people never seek advice without being guided to the best option available to them. Okay, many times we have a decision because we're under pressure. You know, we can't make sense. This happens many times that somebody asks us for advice and we give them very good advice. When we're in the same position, we're lost, we can't make the right decision. We need to ask others, right? Sometimes that nervousness, when it's your own situation, the difficulty causes a person to not, you know, find it difficult to get to the right decision. And also, you should, if you speak advice from somebody who's more experienced, more wise, more knowledgeable, of course they will give you good advice. So Hasan al-Basri says that whenever people seek advice, then they are always guided to the best option available to them. Okay. ثُمَّ تَلَا This is his experience. That there's huge barakah and blessing in mashwara. If you take mashwara, it doesn't become wajib that you follow what the mashwara that you get. Sometimes you may make mashwara, but you may feel like actually this option is better. So you can go against that. But generally, if you take mashwara from wise people, from good people, they'll give you the right mashwara and you should act upon it. That will be best for you. Then he will read the ayah, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah describes the believers as that they conduct their affairs by mutual consultation. So mashwara is a sunnah and we should act upon it, especially in our most important decisions. There's a famous saying, مَا خَابَ مَنْ اسْتَخَارَ وَمَا نَدِيمَ مَنْ اسْتَشَارَ. The one who does istikhara will never fail. And one who does istishara, who takes mashwara, will never regret. Okay? Because even if you get a bad result, you won't feel bad. Because you'll say, well, I asked so many people, they would have done the same thing. Right? Sometimes, but if you do something yourself without asking others, and then you get the wrong result, you get a bad outcome, then you think, oh, if only I asked so and so. So if you ask people for advice, even if something goes wrong, you won't feel so bad because you feel like, well, others would have done the same thing. So it wasn't the wrong thing to do at the time. بَابٌ إِثْمُ مَنْ أَشَارَ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ That if a person gives advice without guidance, okay, against what is good. So if somebody asks you for mashwara and you deliberately give the wrong mashwara, then there's sin, which is mentioned in this hadith. And Abi Hurairah قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تقول علي ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever attributes to me a statement, something that I have not said, should take his place in the fire. I mean, he should be ready for Jahannam. He should know that he's going to be in Jahannam. It's a very serious warning for somebody who makes up a hadith. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so and so thing, which he didn't actually say. And then, وَمَنِ اِسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ فَأَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ Whoever is consulted by his Muslim brother and gives him flawed advice, yeah, بغير رشد, without intelligence, without دليل, without guidance, okay, without so he gives him the wrong مشورة. فقد خانه, he has betrayed him, he's breached his trust. ومن أفتي فتيا بغير ثبت فإثمه على من أفتاه. Whoever is given a fatwa, a ruling that is not based on clear evidence, not based on sound evidence, okay, meaning a person just gives a fatwa without doing any research, then, or without trying to get to the right answer, فإثمه على من أفتاه, then the sin of this will be on the one who gives the ruling. If a person deliberately gives a wrong fatwa, or not deliberately, but he's not competent, and he knows he's not competent, and still he gives fatwa carelessly, then he will get the sin for that action, the wrong that that person does. If the person is doing haram, because of him, he will get the sin of that haram. Okay, that's why we shouldn't be so careless in giving fatwa. You know, ulama would only give fatwa when their seniors gave them ijazah, and when their seniors would say to them that, yeah, we believe you are competent for fatwa, then they would give fatwa, and even then they would be very careful. Okay, so we shouldn't start giving fatwa unless we have the competency and we've done all our due diligence, done our research, then we can give a fatwa. باب التحاب بين الناس. التحاب from حب,
mutual affection, love for each other. So having love for each other amongst people. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال والذي نفسي بيده
تدخل الجنة حتى تسلموا. You can never enter Jannah until you are truly Muslims. Okay, you are complete Muslims, true Muslims. وَلَا تُسْلِمُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. You cannot be true Muslims until you have mutual love and mutual affection. Until you love each other, you can't enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. As a Muslim Ummah, we must be united. We must be like one unit. We must be like one family. We should all have love for each other, care about each other. Until then, you're not a true Muslim. If you don't care about your other Muslim brothers and sisters, you're not a true Muslim. You have to have love for the whole Ummah. Then, in one riwayat, there's an addition here. أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not tell you something? That when you do this, you will have love for each other. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَأَفْشُ السَّلَامَ تَحَابُّوا. In this narration, that spread salam, spread the greeting of peace amongst you, and you will love one another. This is the beauty of salam. That if we are punctual on our salam, if we make a practice of giving salam to each other, whether it's when we meet people in person, or whether when we talk on the phone, or even when we message. So many times we just message people, we don't start with salam. So when you text message someone, when you start the conversation, Not every single message. When you start the conversation, you should start with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah? The hadith says, Sallim ala arafta wa man lam ta'rif. Whether you know the person or not, if they're a Muslim, you should do salam. Okay? And al-badi'u bis salami bari'un min al-kibr. The one who initiates salam is free from arrogance and kibr. So there are so many virtues for salam. We should make this habit, and doing salam, whether you know the person or not, when you go to the masjid, when you're out, you see a Muslim, even in the shops, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So making this habit of salam is very beneficial and very blessed. And one of the benefits of this is it creates love amongst each other, one another, and it creates love amongst the ummah. Wa iyyakum wal bighdha. Save yourselves from, or guard against, hatred. Don't have hatred for each other. فَإِنَّهَا هِيَ الْحَالِقَ. For it is the razor. It shaves. حَلَقَ يَحْلِقُ. To shave. So, hatred shaves. What does it mean by shaves? Does it shave hair? لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرِ. I'm not saying that it shaves hair. ولكن تحلف الدين rather it shaves deen, it shaves faith altogether. Meaning, just as the razor removes hair, hatred removes deen. When you have hatred for each other, Allah will take deen away from you. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. So, we should, number one, spread salam, do salam to each other. Another thing which you mentioned in the ahadith is when you stand for salah, make the safs properly. Yeah? Make the safs straight and Allah will create love amongst you. Otherwise, if the safs are not straight, it comes a riwayat, فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبُكُمْ, then your hearts will differ. So, like I said, many actions have effects which Rasulullah told us about. So we should be mindful of those. Salam, like we said, laughing causes the heart to die. So here, salam and straightening the rows will cause hearts to be united. Babul Ulfa. Ulfa also means love and affection for each other. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن روح المؤمنين ليلتقيان في مسيرة يوم وما رأى أحدهما صاحبه. The souls of two believers meet when they are a full day's travel apart, even though they have never seen each other.
We can't hear you anymore.
Sorry, I'm just trying to check what Mufti Ahmed has written about this hadith. The meaning of the hadith, Mufti Ahmed Khanpuri says that the souls of two believers meet when they are full days travel apart, even though they have never seen each other. Many times you have two people, they've never met each other. They've always been far away. They've always lived separately. They have no link with each other. They've never spoke to each other. They meet for the first time and suddenly they just get on like they've known each other for a long time. Okay? So this is because their ruh are connected in the alamul arwah. Before they came into this world, their souls were together. And even though physically they are distant, but their souls have some kind of connection. Okay, and this is why some when they meet physically, it's as if they know each other, even though they don't know that. Okay, so sometimes you'll feel this. You'll meet someone for the first time, and you just feel like, oh, I really know this person. We just click. We just get on like a house on fire. So this is the hadith talking about that. Sometimes two people, even though they've never met, but their souls have this connection with each other. That when they do meet, it's as if they have known each other for a long time. The next hadith, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, An-ni'amu tukfar, wal-rahimu tuqta', walam yura mithlu taqarubil qulub. Favors are often met with ingratitude. Kinship may be severed, but we have seen nothing stronger than hearts drawing close to one another. You'd expect that when you do favors on someone, if you've supported someone, if you've helped someone in their time of need, normally you'd expect that that person will, you know, always be good to you, will always be grateful, and will always be very close to you, very, you know, supporting for you. But the reality is that's not always the case. Many a times you do great favors for someone, and yet when the roles are reversed, you're the one in need, then they don't want to know you, unfortunately. Right? Or once they're in a good position, they act like nothing ever happened and you never helped them. This is just how few people are. This is the reality of the world. Not everyone is like this, but some people are. وَالرَّحِمُ وَتُقْطَعُ. Many a times, you know, somebody is your kin, your relation, you know, they're related to you, they're a relative. You'd expect that somebody has a blood relation, they'll keep that relation and they'll honor that and they'll show you good character, they'll be good to you. But that's not always the case. وَلَمْ يُرَ مِثْلُ تَقَارُبِ الْقُلُوبِ Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is saying this, nothing can come close to hearts drawing close to one another. Meaning, sometimes you have a person, you've never done any favor to them, nor have they done any favor to you. There's no blood relationship. There's no actual reason for you to be good to each other. But your hearts are just close. You just have love for each other. Okay? So, what he's trying to say is, we don't only have relationships based on favors for each other, what we could do for each other, nor are all our relationships based on our blood relations. Many a times, you just have a closeness to somebody. You have muhabbat and ulfat and care and love for another person for no reason. That is true love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the hadith is, al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdhu fillah. That you should love other Muslims, brothers and sisters, for the sake of Allah, without any motive or without any expectation. So, an-ni'amu tukfar wal-rahimu tuqta' walam yura mithlu taqarub al-qulub. That favors may be met with ingratitude, kinship may be severed, but we have seen nothing stronger than hearts drawing close to one another. عن عمير بن إسحاق قال كنا نتحدث أن أول ما يرفع من الناس الألفة. عمير بن إسحاق, I believe is a tabi'i, والله أعلم. He says, we used to say that the first thing to be removed from people would be mutual affection. Okay? We can probably say this just from one generation, right? That if I look at my parents' and grandparents' generations, the sense of community and the sense of family, the sense of you know, with their neighbors, with the locality, the amount of affection they had, you know, they'd always look out for each other, always sending things, gifts for each other, going to visit each other, sometimes just popping in for 5 minutes, checking on each other. And these things are all being lost. So you can see from the time of the Sahaba, they realize the first thing to be removed from people's hearts would be mutual affection. And as Qiyamah comes closer, this affection will only decrease. As a society, people become more and more selfish, more and more self-centered. It's all about me. What can I get? What can I do? And don't care about anybody else. So we should work towards restoring and protecting those traditions of this, you know, sense of community, sense of love for each other, care for each other, unconditional, without any personal benefit. باب المزاح. Mizah means humor, to joke. So, you know, some joking and humor is good. It's not a bad thing. As long as, number one, there's no sukhriya, which means mocking. If you mock someone and ridicule someone with your jokes, that is haram. That is not allowed. But if there's no mocking and there's no belittling anyone, then this is not a bad thing. And it shouldn't be excessive. All right, but sometimes some is good. So some joking, some humor is good. And another thing, so number one, it should not have any mocking. And secondly, it shouldn't have any lie in there. So you shouldn't say a joke, you know, where you lie to someone. Like we read previously, that you shouldn't hide somebody else's property because to worry them. Okay, so in the same way, you shouldn't say a joke which will scare someone, which will worry someone, nor should there be any lies in there. Then this kind of humor is allowed, is advised. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also engaged in such humor. Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri rahmatullahi Sayyid Ahmad Barakatuhum says that in one hadith it comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعَتِيتُ الرُّعْبَ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ That I have been given Ru'ab. Ru'ab means like awe, fear. So Allah has gifted me with fear to the distance of 1 month. Meaning, if somebody was at a distance of a month's travel, okay, commonly in 1 day, they would travel 18 miles, So in 3 days, 48 miles, right? So in 30 days, is 480 miles, roughly 500. So if somebody was 500 miles away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would feel the awe if there was mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if he was coming to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would start to feel this awe and this fear of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right from 500 miles away, you could say. So this is a gift that Allah Ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even great leaders and kings would be scared of him. When the Persian emperor sent two of his warriors, the idea was that they would come and they would just take Medina under their control. But when they came and sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could hardly say anything. Right? It's a long story, with their long mustaches and short beards. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Who tells you to do this?" He said, "Our Rabb." So Rasulullah said, "My Rabb told me to shorten my mustache and lengthen my beard." So if you read the whole story, their idea was that they would come and just take over the whole Medina in no time. But instead, they were struck by all the awe of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if Rasulullah has so much awe, if this awe and this ru'ab was always there on the Sahaba, they would not be able to benefit from him. They wouldn't even be able to speak to him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would behave like any other person. He would joke with them and he would talk to them nicely. He would sit with them, eat with them. This was all to create that comfort and that unsiyat so that the Sahaba could fully benefit from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Mufti Ahmad Sahib also writes, the ulama and mashayikh should also, not always be so serious. They should also sometimes joke with their students and, I talk humorously with their students, be friendly and nice with their students, so the students are not always in fear of their teachers and they're able to ask any questions they need and they're able to benefit from their teachers. I was with Mufti Tahir Saab last week, so he was talking about his ustad, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Al Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayh. And he was very humorous. He always had an answer ready for everything. So students used to joke with him. Mufti Saab says that once one of his students shook his hands and he says, "Hazrat, your skin, I heard that the awliya of Allah have very soft hands and your hands are not so soft." So, that means you're not a wali of Allah. So Mufti Saab replied, "I don't claim to be a wali of Allah." Right? So he didn't get offended. So his students could joke with him like this without being scared, even though he was the great Mufti of Deoband and Saharanpur, and the whole India used to refer to him as Faqih al-Ummah and al-Mufti al-Azam, the great Mufti. When you see his knowledge, his fiqh, and even his in tasawwuf, his wilayat and his ta'alluq with Allah, it's amazing. And his students are all over the country. But anybody could joke with him like this. So when a sheikh jokes with his students, then this creates a sort of mu'anasa, and the students are able to fully benefit. So عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على بعض نسائه ومعهن أم سليم فقال يا أنجشه رويدا سوقك بالقوارير. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم joined some of his wives and أم سليم was with them. He said, "O أنجشه, take it easy, as you are driving gentle creatures." Qawarir, actually, the word over here is take it easy with driving, take it easy in driving glass bottles. Now, the story behind this is that when the Arabs would travel, they would travel on camelback. So when traveling on camels, usually they would get somebody with a nice voice to sing, right? So when they would sing, what would happen is the camels get excited and they run fast. So Anjasha, his kunya is Abu Maria, he was an African freed slave. He had a beautiful voice. So they were traveling and he was singing, and as he was, singing poetry, the camels were running faster. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be careful in your driving with glass bottles." What does that mean? So first of all, there's two possibilities. The first possibility is the purpose is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that, don't sing so loud because the camels will go too fast And when the camels go very fast, they jump up and down. So this could hurt the women. The women won't be able to take that force of this, when the camel's moving fast, and one of them could get injured or could get hurt. So that's the reason he said that don't sing so loud. Or number two, he's saying that, so number two, or number two, it means that don't sing so loud because you have a beautiful voice, and a beautiful voice can sometimes be a cause for fitna. That so one of the ladies, from many ladies are traveling, so one of them could get a thought in their mind that there's such a beautiful voice, and this can cause the attraction. Okay, just as when you look at someone, you can feel attraction towards them. Sometimes just listening to their voice can cause an attraction as well. So save them from falling into fitna by having any inappropriate thought based on your voice. Therefore, don't sing with such a beautiful voice and so loud. Okay. Then, if it's the first one, that if it's the fear of them being injured, then the meaning of glass bottles could be referring to the actual ladies, that ladies are weak, like glass, meaning physically. So if the camels run too fast, they could get hurt. Or it could be, as the translator has taken it, that sing slowly, or let the camels go slowly, as if they have glass bottles on them. Okay, just like if someone is driving very fast, we say, look, imagine you've got glass bottles on the hood of your car, on the bonnet of your car, and then drive. So obviously they're gonna drive very carefully now because the glass bottle might fall and break. So he's saying, let the camels move as if they have glass bottles on them, meaning let them move slowly. Or it means the ladies are the glass bottles, and just as glass bottles break easily, they can get injured easily, they can get hurt easily. So don't let the camels go too fast. So basically, there's two possible purposes, and when in the first one, then there's two possible meanings for glass bottles. Either the ladies are the glass bottles, or as if you have glass bottles on the camels. قال أبو قلابة فتكلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بكلمة لو تكلم بها بعضكم لعبتموها عليه قوله سوقك بالقوارير. أبو قلابة said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said a word which you would have criticized if said by any of you. He said, as you are driving glass vessels, meaning people would think that this isn't very noble, this isn't how a respectable person talks, referring to ladies as glass bottles. But he's saying that Rasulullah spoke that because he used to behave like a general person so that everybody could be comfortable around him. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qalu, Ya Rasulullah, innaka tuda'ibuna. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the Sahaba once said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you joke with us? They couldn't believe it. That you are a messenger of Allah, wahi comes to you, Quran comes down on you, Jibreel comes to you, and despite all that, you joke with us. You are the best of Allah's creation. How can you joke with us? قَالَ إِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقًّا. He said, but I only say what is true. Yes, I do joke, but when I joke, even then I don't lie. This is what we said. It's okay to joke. We shouldn't have any lies in our joking. عن بكر بن عبد الله قال كان أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبادحون بالبطيخ. The Sahaba used to joke so much that sometimes they would throw melons at one another. I believe it means the peel of the melon. So after you've eaten the melon and just the skin, just the peel is left, so sometimes they would even, jokingly throw that at one another. Like I read one place, the same Mufti Muhammad Hassan Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh, that once he was sitting on the dasturkhan and many of his students, and it was mango season. So when they would eat the mango, you get the stone out of the mango. So some of the students were throwing the stones at each other. And one of the students, he actually got the stone of the mango and he went behind Mufti Sahab and he put the stone of the mango in Mufti Sahab's kameez at his back from his neck. And Mufti Sahab didn't even object, or he didn't say anything to this. So the Sahaba also used to joke with each other in this manner. However, فإذا كانت الحقائق كانوا هم الرجال. When it was time for real effort, حقائق, real talk, when it came to serious talk about ilm, about the hereafter, matters of the akhirah, when it came time for the real work, okay, when it came time for hard work, to work in, and to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strive for deen, to strive for Allah's cause, كانوا هم الرجال, then they were the true men, they were real men. Yeah. So when it was time to joke, they would joke around. But when it was time to be serious, when it was time to work, then they were real men, meaning they would be ready for work. They didn't, they weren't laxed, and they weren't joking in there. Yeah. So there's a time to be relaxed when you're around your family, when you're with your friends, you can be. But when it's time to be serious, then you have to be serious. This is what the example of the Sahaba teaches us. These are just two examples of joking. I'll just quickly read them. عن ابن أبي مليكة قالت مزحت عائشة عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. عائشة رضي الله عنها said some joke, jested in the presence of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقالت أمها حمذة أم رومان said يا رسول الله بعض دعابات هذا الحي بالكنانة. That some of the jokes of these people are from our clan of Kinana. Kinana is from Quraysh. So by هذا الحي, she must be referring to Ansar. That you know the Ansar, they've stolen our jokes basically. Like we say, you stole this joke from so and so. So she's trying to say, they've taken our jokes. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بل بعض مزحنا هذا الحي. Rather, some of our jokes are from them. That's not the truth. It's the other way around, that we learned the joke, these jokes from them. That shows that they had certain jokes that they would tell each other, and this is permitted. As long as there's no lewdness, no fuhush, nothing inappropriate in there, it's allowed. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qala ja'a rajul bi sa'in yastahmiluhu. Somebody came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking for a ride, for an animal to ride on. Faqala inna hamiluka ala waladi naqa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will give you the child of a she-camel. Okay, I'll give you the child of a camel. So you say child of a camel, you think it's a baby camel. قال يا رسول الله وما أصنع بولد ناقة. يا رسول الله, what will I do with a child of a camel, a colt? فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهل تلد الإبل إبلة إلا النوق. Are camels born to any other than a she-camel? Right. Well, if a camel is not a child of a camel, what's it going to be a child of? So every camel is a child of a camel. I didn't mean it's a child now, right? It was a child when it was born, and now it's a grown camel which you can ride. So Rasulullah was just joking that I'll give you a child camel. But if you notice, even in the joke, there's no lie, because every camel is the child of a camel. We'll stop there, inshallah, as we've come to 8 o'clock. Inshallah, we'll continue with Bab al-Mizah ma' al-Sabi in the next lesson. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.